And good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And joining me in the studio, Island Institute writer in residence, Courtney Meredith, all the way from New Zealand. Welcome to Morning Edition, Courtney.
Hi, Morena. Thank you for having me.
And also we have the Island Institute Executive Director, Peter Bradley. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us here.
Well, welcome to Sitka, Courtney. When did you arrive?
I got here last Tuesday evening, so I'm just amidst all the election kind of furore.
And you're going to be here through the end of the month?
I am.
Okay. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about our writing. So you're a poet, a playwright, a fiction writer, a musician. You do a lot. Tell us a bit about your work.
Well, look, I've been writing for a really long time. I remember even just being a young girl, maybe only 4 years old, and writing poems about stars at the time. I come from a really musical family. So my grandfather, he's always sung, played guitar, played piano. My dad is an amazing jazz musician as well. And I've just always had music around me growing up. So as a girl, yeah, I used to write poems and songs and a lot of stories. And that love within me just strengthened over time. And I found that writing in journals was great as a teenager. I got so much joy out of that. And I just kept doing it. And I started to share my songs with people, sharing my poems with people. And I got a really great response. And I just kept going. And here I am with you today.
So you started publishing about 8 years ago. Your play, Rushing Dolls, which I think was published in 2010.
I wrote it in 2010.
You wrote it, yeah, and it won a number of awards.
That's right. And then 2012 it was published.
Great. And then you launched your first book of poetry, Brown Girls and Bright Red Lipstick, in 2012. And you debuted your book of short stories in 2016.
Yes.
Why don't you choose one of those creations of yours and talk about it and talk about why it might be meaningful to you.
Well, I think there's quite an interesting connection between both books. So my latest book, Tale of the Taniwha, which is a collection of short stories, you know, that came solidly like a good 4 years after Brown Girls and Bright Red Lipstick. And the first book of poems, I remember I launched that at the Frankfurt Book Fair in Germany. And it really was this kind of ode to my early 20s. It's all there. It's all there in black and white, I think. Detailing from, I'd say, 20 to 25, all of the things I really cared about, the people I really loved, wanting to get out these messages that young brown women are really empowered and that we're interesting and that we're special and that we're independent and we can do things for ourselves. So the message of that book really came straight out of my heart, and I had no idea that it would have such a huge impact, that it would be taught in high schools and now at universities as well, and that I was going to connect with so many other young brown women and women of colour and just young women full stop through that book. The outpouring of support afterwards was really immense. I was getting emails from all over the world, women just saying to me, yes, this is how I feel about myself, these are my aspirations for the world too, and I love seeing that in your work. So with Tale of the Taniwha that I launched recently, I still wanted that book to have a lot of the same charm and character and a familiarity for my audience that I had already developed with the first work. But I also really wanted to push the envelope, which is why it's a collection of short stories. Some of them are really experimental. I asked myself very, very different questions in creating the second book. And also I was just more conscious, you know. I wasn't just this young, fiery 25-year-old that was like, I'm going to take on the world. With the book that came out recently, it was more like, I have new ideas I want to get across. I want to share a different worldview. I would like to be really innovative with design. And so those were the kind of considerations going through my head.
So you're maturing a little bit more as a writer then?
Yeah, no, I think I am. I'd like to hope so.
So, you know, when that first book of poetry came out, that you just wrote to express your heart,
yeah,
right? And then suddenly you were catapulted onto this much broader stage than you ever imagined. What was that like for you?
Well, in some ways it was incredible because I remember thinking this for me, and I know this is just my personal expression. I'm not saying that everyone has to feel like this about literature, But when a work can create social change, when it can change attitudes, when it can affect people at that level, for me, that is world literature. I never just wanted my work to look beautiful on the page. I had high hopes for it having a function or definitely being a catalyst for a new culture or this kind of a way that we can see ourselves or reimagine ourselves too, especially the woman who I'm talking about specifically within this work. But I launched Brown Girls in Bright Red Lipstick there at the Frankfurt Book Fair, and I was the only Pacific Island woman from my country to actually go along. And so it was this immense responsibility of A, being that one woman, and then also being the youngest writer there, and then the additional kind of pressure you feel of, oh, and I'm also launching my first book.
So you have to represent all these communities, and you're seen sort of like as the representative, the stand-in for really diverse experiences and diverse individuals.
Well, you think too, if you don't occupy those spaces, because a lot of the time I'm just thinking to myself, look, it's just me, I'm just this one individual, I just love these things and care about them, but there definitely is a responsibility. And I think you learn it over time, and I think you become more and more comfortable with it, especially when you meet other young women who are going through similar challenges and they say to you directly, like, your work really helped me through that, or it was your work that helped me get into drama school with Rushing Dolls, you know, because I finally had a monologue that represented me, or I was able to write an essay about your work at university, or I wrote my, I mean, there are some girls who have written their whole master's on the work that I've written so far, which baffles me and amazes me, but it's nice when I hear from them and they say things like, you know, your work and your vision has given me content and given me something to build on. So it's you just don't know how strong the heart can be.
When your first book came out, people began identifying you as a feminist, and that was unexpected for you.
Yeah, it was just a really interesting thing that kind of happened on the way. And now, you know, a good 4 or 5 years later, I'm this very staunch feminist. Just a fortnight before I came to the States, I was in a panel back home called He Mana He Wahine. So Mana Wahine is a Māori theory about women as being really strong and empowered. So to sit on that panel at Auckland Museum with, you know, three other really strong, incredible advocates for women, definitely for me was cementing, yes, I am the staunch feminist. I'm now on a panel of feminists. This is my feminist moment.
Well, what are you hoping that your experience here will be like? And what are you working on?
Look, when I first heard about coming to Sitka, I said yes straight away. The Indigenous communities I really wanted to engage with. Obviously, the scenery here is stunning, the mountains. I've always, because I'm from New Zealand anyway, just really loved the outdoors. And so I wanted to come here and be able to write and experience, you know, the true Alaska. And I guess growing up in New Zealand too, I've just always had so many ideas about the United States, what it would be like to be in New York, what it would be like to be in DC, what it would be like to travel to Alaska and have these adventures. And so to be here and to be able to write about being here is just a real joy, and it is a dream come true.
So I'm going to turn my attention to Peter for a minute. Can you talk about what Courtney will be doing while she's here?
Yes. Thank you for asking. Courtney will start things off with some casual drop-in hours at the Island Institute this week. So every noon hour from noon to 1 p.m. at 304 Baranoff, you can drop in. And if nobody's there, Courtney will be sitting around writing. And if you come in, you can chat and meet over tea or whatever for a little bit. We'll have an artist talk next week on Tuesday, November 22nd, from 7 to 8:30, again at the Island Institute, 304 Baranoff Street. And then the following day, Wednesday, November 23rd, a workshop from 7 to 8:30 as well.
And again, also at the
again at 304 Baranoff. Yep.
And, yeah, and people should come. Please come. So it's not just me talking to myself.
And Courtney hung out with the students in our high school story lab session this week, and she'll do a bit more of that. And any teachers who are interested in having Courtney in the classroom can give a shout to peter@iialaska.org or call 747-3794.
Well, great. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I would love to chat for longer, but anyone who'd like to get to know you just needs to stop down by the Island Institute.
Definitely. I'll be there. And thank you so much for having us, Melissa.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Cheers.
We've been speaking with Courtney Meredith, Island Institute writer in residence and executive director of the Institute, Peter Bradley.